From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we are going to present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Listener, we begin with the news. Stay tuned, the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia-Australia hold bilateral talks to discuss trade issue. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, says that there is no transboundary haze. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita held bilateral talks with his Australian counterpart Simon Birmingham on the sidelines of the 51st ASEAN Economic Ministers meeting held in Bangkok, Thailand on Sunday, September 8, escorted by Antara News. The meeting took place a few hours before ministerial negotiations on the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or CEP, Multilateral Economic Agreement, which has been under negotiations for several years, escorted by Antara in Jakarta. RCEP, which is still a draft free trade pact, covers 16 countries, which make up 40% of the global gross domestic product. Heads of state and government from 16 RCEP member states have expressed the hope that substantial discussion of the pact could be concluded in November 2019. Australia is one of the 16 countries involved in RCEP and has great interest in this pact. During the opening of the 51st ASEAN Economic Ministers meeting recently, Thai Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha in the capital of as ASEAN chairman underlined the significance of finalizing the RCEP agreement at the end of this year. He believes that the RCEP will promote closer and more stable economic trade and investment climate between ASEAN member states and their partners. Indonesian Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya ensured that haze resulted by land and forest fire would not spread to neighboring countries. According to Minister Siti Nurbaya, the number of hotspots has declined compared to the situations on the September 4 and 5, 2019, based on her press release on Sunday, September 8. Siti Nurbaya assured that currently there is no transboundary haze from Indonesia to its neighboring countries. Furthermore, she explained that the Indonesian government keeps taking a number of measures to extinguish hotspots in various areas across the country. Minister Siti Nurbaya pointed out that the integrated fire extinguishing effort is part of the control systems that has been established since the land and forest fire in 2015. Minister Siti Nurbaya affirmed that her side is committed to resolving land and forest fire so that the incident will not happen anymore this year. The government of China will hold investment forum in East Nusa Tenggara, West Nusa Tenggara, Bali, and Kupang next November. Dozens of Chinese investors and business people from the three provinces will participate in the forum. It was remarked by Consulate General of China Guo Hadong in Denpasar, Bali on Monday, September 9, escorted by Antara. Guo Hadong pointed out that the forum is aimed at disseminating information about the potentials of investment in the three provinces to Chinese investors. Previously, a number of Chinese investors visited East Nusa Tenggara and expressed their interest to invest in the province. Guo Hadong explained that communication becomes the main obstacle that impedes the progress of investment in the province. In addition to the language barrier, Guo Hadong said that many Chinese investors still do not comprehend the policy of the East Nusa Tenggara government as well as the development of the region. Therefore, Guo Hadong promised that his side would address the issues in the forum to overcome the obstacles faced by the Chinese investors. The Japanese Trade, Economy and Industry Ministry offers cooperation on the development of small and medium enterprises to ASEAN so that they can use the opportunities in the digital era. It was stated by Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita on the sidelines of the 51st ASEAN Economic Ministers meeting in Bangkok, Thailand on Saturday, September 8. The meeting is a platform for Japanese and ASEAN business associations to share and exchange their ideas on the development of small and medium enterprises in facing the 4.0 industrial revolution. Escorted by Antara, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita pointed out that there are two aspects of cooperation that the Japanese government offers, namely transfer of technology and human resource capacity building, which aim to develop the quality of human resources in a bid to compete in the digital era. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita explained that Japan, which has advanced small and medium enterprises, offers scholarship program as an effort to enhance the capacity of human resources. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. The Indonesian government will establish the Indonesian Pavilion as the participation of the Dubai Expo 2020 in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. The groundbreaking ceremony, signifying the beginning of the pavilion's establishment, will be carried out on Monday, September 9, by head of the National Creative Economic Agency, Triawan Munaf. Director General of National Export Development, Dodi Edward, in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, said that the Indonesian pavilion has strategic location because it will be situated in the main road. The Indonesian pavilion will be built on a 1,896-meter land at the Dubai Trade Center, Jabal Ali, Dubai. The pavilion will be built by PT Wijaya Karya, and its construction is slated to finish in April 2020. The government invites private companies to contribute to supporting Indonesia's participation at the Dubai Expo 2020 by becoming the government sponsor in the event. The Indonesian government attempts to persuade private companies to support Indonesia's funding in the event. The private contribution is truly needed for the success of Indonesia's participation in the event. Deputy Chief of the Indonesian Marine Scholarship Association is Kindo Muhammad Abdi Suhufan said that Indonesia's great fisheries export potential to the U.S. due to the escalation of trade war between the U.S. and China. Abdi Suhufan told Antara on Sunday that the international trade situation, especially the trade war between China and the U.S., gives Indonesia opportunity to expand its fishery commodities abroad. A number of commodities which potentially penetrate the U.S. market are tilapia fish and tuna. Abdi perceived that the two commodities have high potential in the U.S. market, since many fishery commodities have always been dominated by China. Abdi Suhufan said that the market share of tilapia fish is only 8.44%. Meanwhile, the market share of tuna is 3.14%. Therefore, in a bid to penetrate the U.S. market, which has always been dominated by China, the Indonesian government needs to synergize in a bid to increase production capacity, market penetration, and reduce logistics costs. The last slide. An open space concert of classic music was firstly held in Jakarta, even in Indonesia. The concert, entitled Konser Akbar Monas 2019 or Monas Grand Concert 2019, was held by Jakarta Symphony Orchestra at Jakarta Oratorio Society at Southeast Park of Monas, Jakarta on Sunday night, September 8. The event was supported by Jakarta Provincial Government. Chief Executive of the Monas Grand Concert, Timothy Siddiq, to reporter before the concert said, "The classic music concert was aimed to show the diversity of Indonesia to the world.
Kami berharap orang yang dari luar negeri melihat
Indonesia. We hope that people abroad can see that Indonesia is a beautiful country, not only from one group of people, but precisely from diversity. If the beauty comes only from one color or one sound of like music, it is only homogeneous beauty. The diverse beauty resulting a very beautiful performance." Timothy Siddiq also hopes that classical music can not only be enjoyed by certain groups, but also by the general public from various groups. The Grand Music Concert of Monas 2019 featured at least 60 musicians and 100 singers from the Jakarta Symphony Orchestra and the Jakarta Oratorio Society. The concert, which was held free of charge, played Indonesian songs and European classic music of famous composers Beethoven, Mozart, Strauss, and Suppi. Attended the classic music concert were Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, Minister of Marine and Fishery Susi Pujiastuti, and some head of representatives of friendly countries. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
For the next segment, we'll present new commentary. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Welcoming the Era of Electric Vehicles in Indonesia. Last Sunday, 8th of September, Indonesian Electric Motor Show, IEMS 2019 at Kartika Expo Balai Kartini Roomt in Jakarta was visited by many people. They seems enthusiastic about observing various electric vehicles, pure batteries, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, until fuel cells that displayed at the event. Visitors came from various cycles with different goals. Some just wanted to look at the exhibition. Some visitors were curious about the development of Indonesian electric vehicles. Environmental issues are one of the main reasons why some countries are switching from vehicles with fossil fuels to electric ones. The attention of Indonesian people towards electric vehicles was even greater when President Joko Widodo officially signed the presidential regulation related to electric cars. The main concerns are not only the product and price, but also the availability of battery charging areas and battery waste treatment. For the people of Indonesia, especially the middle and lower economic cycles, products, models, and prices are certainly an important part of their consideration for switching to electric cars. The habit of people hoping to resell cars that they had been using for several years at a high price will certainly be a challenge to sell electric vehicles. In addition, the availability of battery charging places is certainly an important consideration for electric vehicle users. The number of traffic jams, especially in big cities, especially in Jakarta, will certainly make the battery consumption quite large. Thus, there is a need for a large amount of battery charging. Another important point that must be solved is the waste management of electric vehicle batteries. The battery has a lifetime. This means that there will be a lot of battery waste that comes from electric vehicles whose impact is negative on the environment. Therefore, before the mass use of electric vehicles is properly realized, the obstacles that may arise must first be solved. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on September the 9th, 1948. The first National Sports Week was opened in Surakarta. The first National Sports Week was held in Surakarta on September 9th to 12th, 1948. So, September 9th is annually commemorated as the National Sports Day. The first National Sports Week was participated in by around 600 athletes who competed in 9 sport branches that seized as many as 108 medals. In 1946, the Sports Association of the Republic of Indonesia, which was assisted by the Olympic Committee of the Republic of Indonesia, which is now merged into Indonesian National Sports Committee, organized Indonesian athletes to participate in Summer Olympic in London in 1948. World's recognition on Indonesia's independence and dignity, which was not achieved yet at that time, became major obstacles in a bid to get to London. Indonesian delegation's failure to the Olympic Made Conference agreed to hold National Sports Week. Next event was in 2013 on U19 AFF 2013. Youth Championship on U19 AFF 2013 was the fanned edition of Youth Championship of U19 AFF, which was organized by ASEAN Football Federation in Jakarta on September 9, 2004. The event was held in Indonesia from September 9th to 22nd, 2013. Previously, Australia, which joined in Group A, resigned because of lack of preparation. For the first time, Indonesia succeeded to win the tournament after defeating Vietnam through penalties. The last event is that in 2004, a car bomb exploded in front of the Australian Embassy in Jakarta. The bomb attack of the Australian Embassy in 2004, or well known with the name Kuningan Bomb, occurred in Jakarta on September 9, 2014. It was the third major terrorism action which addressed to Australian Embassy in Indonesia after the Bali bombing 2002 and the GW Marriott bomb in 2003. The number of casualties which succeeded to be identified reached 11 people. They were other security officers, visa applicants, embassy staff, and residents who were at surrounding area where the bomb exploded. There was no Australian citizen who was killed in the accident. Some buildings surrounding the area were also destroyed. Indonesian police suspected that the terrorist group of Jamaah Islamiyah was behind the bomb attack. Listener, that was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia.
For the next segment, let's listen to Today in History. In today's edition, we'll present new historic events happening on 9th of September.
Denganmu tenang, tak terfikir dunia ini. Imajinasi telah menghanyutkanku, mimpiku sempurna, tak seperti orang biasa. Karenamu seperti orang biasa. Aku berbeda. Aku taman mimpiku, imajinasi telah menghanyutkanku, mimpiku sempurna, tak seperti orang biasa. Fikirkan indah tentang surga, seakan-akan di sana. Berhayal semua tentang jiwa ku tenang.
That was the first song titled Aku Tenang by 420. Still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. for the next segment will present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is entitled President Joko Widodo inaugurates the SMK car factory. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the SMK car factory in Central Java on Friday, September 6th. The inauguration took place in Demangan Village, Boyolali, Central Java, and was attended by Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto and Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi. The SMK car factory is managed by PT Solo Manufacture Kreasi or SMK, which also acts as a brand holder. The factory facility has an area of 12,500 square meters and was built on 115,000 square meters land. In this factory, there are production processes such as vehicle assembly, painting, until testing. The investment value spent for this factory is 600 billion rupiah. The factory production capacity is said to reach 18,000 units per year. That means 1,500 units per month or around 50 units per day. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said the existence of the SMK factory could have a positive impact on the Indonesian economy, especially in Boyolali. Therefore, according to President Joko Widodo, all must support it. On the same occasion, Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto said the presence of the SMK car factory was a manifestation of the strength of the national automotive industry. It is targeted to increase the absorption of domestic automotive components, especially those produced by small and medium enterprises or industries. At present, the company has collaborated with more than 30 local automotive components industry suppliers and has made preparation for mass production. He ensured the inauguration of the factory always had multiple effects on the economy, such as opening new jobs. Meanwhile, President Director of the Solo Manufacturing Kreasi Company, Edi Wirajaya, said the establishment of this factory included efforts to improve human resources in Indonesia. SMK routinely selects vocational high school students who will assist the SMK car production process. Superior human resources could be obtained through the empowerment of vocational school graduates who are directly involved in the production process. Eddie asserted all Solo Manufacturing Kreasi employees were very happy and grateful for all the support and participation from various parties so that in the end they succeeded in building the factory and all SMK facilities. In addition to inaugurating the factory, Solo Manufacture Kreasi also introduced the first mass-produced pickups named Bima. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on President Joko Widodo inaugurates the SMK car factory. I'm Anatri Jaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Setiap waktu, setiap malam, hatiku tenang jika mengingatmu, oh sayangku. Ku butuh kamu. Kita akan bersama. sampai menutup mata.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Second song titled Dulu Kita Nanti by Citra Scholastica. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we are going to take you to visit one of historical and also mesmerizing places in Indonesia, which is called Madin Damar Waterfall in South Kalimantan. Stay tuned to our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Madin Damar Waterfall in South Kalimantan. Stay tuned. At the hinterland forests of South Kalimantan, besides various tropical flora and fauna, there are also beautiful waterfalls. One of them is Madin Damar Waterfall, which is located at Gunung Raya Village, Mentewe District, Tanah Bumbu Regency, South Kalimantan. Madin Damar Waterfall has around 10 meters high and 15 to 18 meters wide. The waterfall is surrounded with forest and it is visited by fewer people. Its water is transparent and deep. Thus, local people believe that the streaming water of Madin Damar Waterfall can be drunk without being boiled. Visitors can enjoy the beauty of the waterfall from two sides, namely from bottom and top of the waterfall. If you love adrenaline, you can climb to the top of the waterfall. You can also jump from the top to swim at the river of the waterfall. But you have to be careful if you want to jump from the top to avoid injury. The easiest road to go to Madin Damar Waterfall is through Loksado District, South Hulu Sungai Regency. To enter the tourism object, you have to pay entrance ticket for 10,000 rupiahs. Because its location is at remote area, there are not many facilities provided at Mandindamar Waterfalls Complex. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Sudah lama ku percaya cinta hanya sebuah kata, tak nyata makna di dalamnya. Dusta cipta Adam dan Hawa, dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka. Ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku telah jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha. Kau bertanya menjadi rasa, cari arti dari semua ini. Rasa tinggi karena kau di sini. Kau beri kesempatan hati untuk kembali mencintai. Dan kau datang mengubah hampir segalanya. Karena hadirmu membawa tanya, oh, oh. Ku bermimpi dengan mata yang terbuka. Ku melayang di atas awan tanpa terbang. Ku tak jatuh cinta tanpa kau harus berusaha. Di atas awan tanpa terbang.
You've just listened to another song titled Tanya Jadi Rasa by Fadi Akbar. For the next segment, we'll present you a segment that will give you understanding about Indonesian language in our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Selamat Ulang Tahun, or in English, Happy Birthday. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Selamat Ulang Tahun, or in English, Happy Birthday. Tony is celebrating his birthday at Joko's house. Dina, Joko, and Enda give something special and wish him happy birthday. After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to that topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Umur, which means age. 28 tahun, which means 28 years. Ke-28, which means the 28th. Ulang tahun, which means birthday. Selamat ulang tahun, which means happy birthday. Ayo tiup lilinnya, which means come on, blow the candle. Selamat ulang tahun yang ke-28, which means happy the 28th birthday. Berapa umurmu? Which means how old are you? Ini ulang tahun yang keberapa? Which means, what year is your birthday?
Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun. Ayo, tiup lilinnya.
Wah, terima kasih.
Ini ulang tahunmu yang keberapa?
Ke-28.
In the dialogue, Dinda wishes Tony a happy birthday by saying, Selamat ulang tahun, in English, happy birthday. If you want to wish a happy birthday to someone, you can say Selamat ulang tahun or Selamat hari lahir. But the expression Selamat hari lahir is rarely used. If you want to wish someone a happy birthday with people who are 28 years, you can say Selamat ulang tahun yang ke-28. Or in English, happy 28th birthday. In the Indonesian language, cardinal numbers are like 1 or 1, 2 or 2, 3 or 3, and etc. While ordinal numbers are like ke-1 or pertama, in English, first. Kedua, in English, second. Ketiga, in English, third. So the Indonesian ordinal number is added with prefix ke. Please pay attention to some examples to the use of the two kinds of number in the next conversation. Berapa umurmu? Which means, how old are you? 28 tahun, which means 28 years. Ini kan ulang tahunmu yang ke-28. Ini kan ulang tahunmu yang ke-28. Which means, is it your 28th birthday? Ya. Yeah. Which means, yes it is. Listener, Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Selamat ulang tahun. Selamat ulang tahun. Ayo, tiup lilinnya.
Wah, terima kasih.
Ini ulang tahunmu yang keberapa?
Ke-28.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Restau terenak, membaca di sudut paling tenang, menonton pertunjukan musik, telusuri jalanan dari malam hingga pagi. Itu mudah.
was a song by Rizky Febian with Mika Tambayong. You still stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And for the next segment, let's listen to Indonesian music in our program Music Corner. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we present a Keroncong song to you entitled Sapu Tangan. The song was composed by Indonesian Keroncong maestro Gesang. The song Sapu Tangan tells about someone's sadness who is left by their beloved. Sapu Tangan, which means handkerchief, is a sign of love which is now becomes a wiper of farewell tears. Not only sung by Gesang himself, the song is also dedicated by many other Indonesian singers. Well, listener, here is Sapu Tangan, sung by Ismanto.
Sapu tangan yang harum baunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Sapu tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku, pada masa dahulu berdua pertama bertemu. Penuh dengan rencana dan janji telah disetujui, meskipun bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati. Sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai puranku, karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku.
Eindhoven, kota kecil Belanda, aku diajarkan apa itu toleransi. Holland spreken tiga Nederlander di rumah makan terhenti ketika menatapku. Tersadar mereka dan langsung mengubah obrolannya menjadi bahasa yang ku mengerti. Semata agar aku tidak merasa terkucilkan. Di Mekah Al-Mukarramah, Jazirah Arab, dalam puncak suasana musim haji, diperlihatkan kepada aku makna toleransi. Ketika semua pertengkaran terhenti hanya dengan satu kata, Assalamualaikum. Tak peduli dari mana kita berasal. Di Chengdu, China, toleransi diajarkan seorang anak muda yang mengantar kami kembali ke hotel hanya karena melihat raut wajah kebingungan tak tentu arah. Di Kazakhstan, semua makan malam diatur untuk Muslim dan Hindu. Tak ada daging babi di meja Muslim, tak ada daging sapi di meja Hindu. Di Cempaka Baru, Kemayoran, Jakarta, menetes air mata ketika jemaat umat Kristiani dipersilahkan menggunakan pelataran masjid untuk menggelar kebaktian tutup peti. Di banyak belahan dunia, toleransi bukan sekedar kata-kata. Ketika mata hati kita buka, deras segala makna toleransi disuguhkan pada kita, bukan sekedar kata-kata. Dirgahayu Radio Republik Indonesia, untuk Indonesia lebih bertoleransi.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our terrestrial program. Please give us your feedbacks and suggestions to our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send us your email to voi@voinews.id. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.